As we spend time at Commodity Classic in San Antonio, Texas, sitting down now with the Vice President of the National Corn Growers Association, Matt Frostick from Michigan. Matt, good to see you, my friend. How are you?
It's good to be here. Good to see you. And what a wonderful opportunity to get together and meet with farmers and the industry and just learn about, you know, the future of farming and the you know, that progress. So it's always, we always look forward to being here.
I know record attendance this year, a little over 11,000 was the count I last saw, and maybe that grows here after today. But again, to your point, time for innovation, a time for conversation, a time to break bread. There's so many things that happen each and every year at Commodity Classic, and you think about it, 30 years of this event, what a gold standard type of event in agriculture during the winter meeting season, Matt.
Yeah, and a tribute to the committees that's put this together. It certainly is an event that everybody marks on their calendar and wants to go to, and it just keeps getting better and better every year. I know they struggle with getting to cities where they have enough room now because the event has become so big, but yet they have always put a class act on every year, and we really look forward to participating every year with the other groups.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, you guys have a lot of meetings, talk a lot of policy, a lot of issues when you're all together for Commodity Classic. And there's a couple things that are top of mind right now. Let's talk E15. Obviously, this is an issue where we've had the rug pulled out from underneath us again. That's the term I've started to really use because it's the truth. I mean, we thought we had a deal, and then the deal went away, you know, because of a few mid-sized refiners. And here we are again with a lot of uncertainty on whether or not we're going to get year-round E15 legislation across the finish line. What's the latest you're hearing, Matt?
Yeah, so, we were there a few weeks ago and was pressing to get it on the CR, and that didn't happen, but they did form a task force, and so we went down that road. There was a Feb 25 deadline to vote on, and we've went past that. So, you know, the frustrations continue. We do feel like there is still an opportunity to work with the legislators and the industry to get this done. But the time is running out, and we're looking to, you know, press on Congress to, you know, make a decision. Are you going to choose to, you know, empower your Midwest agriculture industry and the taxpayer and the consumer, or are you going to side on a refiner that is, you know, making rather generous profits and still getting waivers?
And I think what's interesting, and we've talked about this before, and what most folks maybe don't understand is that there's enough roadblocks in Congress to stop this from being passed on its own. Like, we always talk about having a vehicle that this has to be attached to get this across the finish line, even with so much bipartisan support. And unfortunately, at the end of the day, that's just the game of American politics that we're wrapped up in here, it seems, Matt.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate because, yeah, we've got bipartisan support across several areas of the country. The key is you have to have strategic representatives in certain committees to make this happen, specifically in rules. And you know, that's continuously been our roadblock. And it's unfortunate because this is something that would help the consumer. I mean, cheaper fuel, a well-branded fuel that has proven to work in the last 8 to 10 years, and it shows to be cheaper at the gas pump. So we're just asking for the choice. This isn't a mandate or a subsidy or anything else. It's a consumer choice. And honestly, what it does for the corn grower and the average farmer is it gives us that stronger safety net that we need to, you know, to continue to farm, and thus we don't have to depend on safety nets in a farm bill. So it's a taxpayer savings too. So there's a lot in this that makes a lot of common sense. We're always encouraged to, you know, get a check from what we do and not from DC. Not that we don't need that at times, but when we can put stronger policy together, the disasters don't seem to happen, and we don't need those ad hoc payments like we're needing now to get by.
And I know that, to your point, this is something that it's a no-cost benefit, and it's just giving the option. It's allowing the retailers to say, hey, yes, we would love to offer E15. It's not saying you have to do it. It's simply saying you have the option to do this year-round if you choose, and then it lets the market essentially make up its mind and decide. That's all you guys are asking for here.
Exactly. And, you know, we know we're the cheapest octane booster out there. We know we have a great product that can go in the fueling systems. Essentially, we're just looking to, you know, clear up some antiquated regulation that, you know, has actually isn't as prevalent when you go to an E15 versus an E10. So it's a hiccup in our regulation system, and essentially it gives us shelf space where the consumer can make a choice, and that's all it is at this point.
Matt Frostick, First Vice President, National Corn Growers Association, joining us. Another issue we should touch on is USMCA. Getting ready for that review in July. A lot of talk ahead of that, though, about, you know, what are the administration's plans here? Talk of, well, maybe we need to split this up into separate deals, or what should we do with USMCA? And I think at the end of the day, from agriculture side, and I love your perspective to talk about this, but I've heard a lot of do no harm to USMCA, essentially. There's areas to tweak this, make it better, but ultimately, this is a good deal that's in place. I mean, would you agree with that? Talk about what your feelings are with USMCA.
Yeah, most certainly. When you look at, you know, exports of corn, and we've had record exports in the last couple of years, even with tariff issues going on and things like that. And those two countries that we trade the most corn with, or ethanol too, is Canada and Mexico. And not only are they our great trading partners, they're close. So it's a competitive market for us. We don't have to ship corn around the world. So we want to keep those relations open with them. Kudos to our staff at the Corn Growers, because they've kind of raised the flag on this. We kind of, you know, a few months ago thought that USMCA was a slam dunk and we'd get it renewed and the way we go. You know, but as we're digging into this and working with the administration, it's not that clear direction is not well paved, and we've got a lot of work to do, and we're going to need a lot of help from our constituents and corn growers out there to keep the pressure on to, like you said, do no harm to our industry. Obviously, there's things that we can tweak, but we have a really good trade plan in place, and it would certainly decimate our industry if we didn't have that.
You mentioned it, the demand for corn and the demand for ethanol and the demand for corn through animals, you know, animal ag side of this, the added value there. There's so many aspects, Mexico being such a big partner with the U.S. for corn, et cetera. There's so many things out there that are already a great benefit. And so doing no harm is key with both of these items, though. How can producers make their voice heard? Because I think at the end of the day, making sure the administration, Congress, everyone understands the importance of these items, strength in numbers, so to speak, that's the big thing, Matt.
Yeah. So we do like a action items where we send out texts to corn growers and ask them to respond and send back remarks or letters to their representatives. And we often think, you know, sometimes we think, do we really need to do that? Do they really pay attention? And being in D.C. and in the offices, they pay attention to that. And so it's really about, you know, getting the base excited to when we need them, they need to, you know, respond to those action items and, you know, send those letters and make those phone calls and tell Congress how important these things are. Because it this is a timing thing. Again, we're in an industry that is reeling, you know, the balance sheets are in the red. I mean, we talked last fall or last summer how things were tough, and we were questioning how tough they were, and it's only gotten worse. And as time passes, this continues to, you know, we're in a downward spiral. So we need these structural things to keep us stable.
Anything final you'd mention or reiterate to folks here on the show today, Matt?
Just appreciate time hanging with you and talking with you and getting the word out. We really need to, you know, the Midwest really needs to speak up and speak loud and be bold about, you know, what our issues are and what we need to be a strong industry. Because, quite frankly, if we're not a strong Midwest, our country's not strong either. So this is about national, you know, a national system. So.
Matt Frostick, NCGA First Vice President. Good to see you, my friend. Thanks for some time here in San Antonio. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Real good. Thank you for having me on again.